Come on, give me a little praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, for all of you that have come through my class this morning, and you all did, I hope, we talked about the words of God that allow us to enter into the reality of God. Magisterium of our church tells us that we move into the reality of God through His Word, and the Word that was given to us where we experience this marvelous reality, revelation, is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and we went through that this morning. And what I'm to do this hour is to talk about prayer. Now, let me pre-warn you, don't get upset at me when I talk to you about prayer. Please. What I'm going to try to do is give it to you in the simplest form, and it's the way the Scripture has revealed it. I don't know of any other way to speak about it. I just know that the Scriptures, and especially in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and Luke 6, 21 through 48, there are the demands that allows us to experience God as we do these words. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? But as we do these words, God reveals Himself. The very next thing that happened after the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to give you a little Bible study here, or a history lesson, I should say. The theologians of our church tell us that we must understand and reveal the Scriptures in the context in which they were written. It's not working. It doesn't matter. I'll use this. Here, take that with you. In the context in which it was written. Now, I want to give you an area of Jesus' life so you can begin to appreciate the message that He preached. When Jesus was born, we know that we celebrate that, don't we, as a grand festive occasion, Jesus is born. But if we go back to Israel 2,000 years ago when He was born, Herod, we know that there was, we don't know how many babies were slaughtered, but we know that from the babies in Bethlehem and the surrounding communities, were slaughtered. Now, I've heard different preachers try to put a number on the ones that were slaughtered. Folks, that's stupid to try to do something like that because the number's not given. We just know they were slaughtered. We know that Herod ordered the firstborn of all male children from 2 years old and down slaughtered. Now, we don't really understand that because we've never been exposed to it. Now, maybe some of you have, but the majority of us has never had to go through that kind of a tremendous trial. We also know that in that same period of time, that the Jews were constantly harassed by the Roman soldiers. Their homes were treated like commissaries. Their property was confiscated. Their wives were raped. Y'all understand this? Y'all know this for a fact, don't you? I mean, we got this from the history books, don't we? We know that the Roman soldiers, there was one point where there was a from zealots that came down to the temple and tried to remove the iron eagle, the symbol of Rome, off of the temple building. And in the scuffle, there was a few Roman soldiers killed. And we know that there was a general that was so angry, he ordered 2,000 Jewish men killed to teach him a lesson. Picked at random. Harry, give me Johnny, give me Charlie, give me the Lamettes, and we're just going to take them out and burn them. There was some horrendous times in those days, folks. And everybody was looking for God. They were crying, "Oh God, help us." John the Baptist was out in the wilderness crying, "Make straight the pathway of the Lord. God's coming."
And everybody was living with expectancy. I mean a real expectancy. And here he comes. And the very first thing he did, the very first thing he taught them, he sent them down and he said, "Now, I want y'all to love your enemies. I want you to do good to those that hate you. And I want you to bless those that have cursed you." You know, the Jews weren't expecting that, folks. They weren't. And I'm going to tell you, folks, a lot of people today are looking down the road for Christ to come. Folks, he's here. For you that are looking for him to come are going to miss him. He's here today. Stop looking for him. He's in you. Look where you lost him. If you lost him, you lost him in your heart. That's where you're going to find him. And Jesus was telling the Jews, you know, love your enemy, do good to those that hate you, bless those that curse you, pray for those. Don't you know the Jews were excited? They probably struck up the band. Oh, glory to God. God's finally come, and now we can put up, we can live with these Roman soldiers, and they can do whatever they want to do. We're just going to have a grand time from here on out. Hallelujah. Folks, they were devastated. I'm just glad I weren't there. God knew where to put me. And you too. Folks, I think I'd have failed that situation. I'd have missed God altogether. Love your enemy. What kind of God is that? Do good to those that hate you. Love is patient and kind and gentle. To a bunch of people that have raped you, stolen your property, abused you, beat you up. He's saying, turn the other cheek. If they want to nail you to the cross, it's okay. It's okay to die for a good cause. Just don't die for a bad cause. We all got to die, so he said, die for a good cause. Amen. But folks, this is, I'm going to tell you, this is not a good message for our ears. Now, God said it's good news, but to most of us, it's bad news. It is. I didn't like it and still struggle in it. And I'm preaching it. I'll tell you what, if I don't preach this every day, I ain't going to live it. Jesus said, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. I believe I got to confess this every day. Since I discovered it ain't confessing Jesus, 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 because Jesus won't save you. Just like wine, the word wine won't make you drunk. It's living the life of Jesus. It's saying the things that he said, oh God, let me love my enemy today. Amen. Got plenty of them too, don't we? You don't have to go look for them. So the very next thing, the next big ticket on the agenda for the disciples was that God said, they said, God, would you help us in this situation? We're going to have to learn how to pray if we're going to do this. It's not going to be easy. Would you teach us how to pray? And I want you to listen to what Jesus said. Now, in your prayer, you disciples, you apostles, you children of the Most High God, you baptized Holy Ghost, Bible-talking Catholic evangelists, I want you in your prayers, do not babble like the pagans do. For they think that by using many words, they will make themselves heard. Y'all know people that pray a lot of words? They just pray, 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 and they get mad at you if you don't pray with them. Huh? Do not be like them. Now, folks, here is a big stroke if you can handle it. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So you should pray like this. This is the way you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be held holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will. Oh, wonder what God's will is. Well, we just read it. Love your enemy. Those are the demands of the kingdom. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that treat you badly. That's the will of God. According to the magisterium, they're the demands of the kingdom that establishes God in us. God's will be done. How many of you have ever prayed like this? Oh God, when they rob my property, give me the grace not to ask for it back. You won't spend hours praying that. You can pray that as you're going to work. You can say, oh God, give me the grace today when they slap me on one cheek that I can present the other cheek. How many of you pray like that? Oh God, let me pray for those that are treating me badly today. I don't want to divorce my husband. Oh God, let me pray for that wonderful, precious brother. Oh God, change my heart and let me be a servant unto him that he can see in me the goodness of Almighty God. Oh God, I pray your will be done. Hello? Do we pray like that? You know what, folks? I'm convinced when Jesus said that he knows what we need before we ask. Everything in our life to experience salvation is at hand. Most of our time is praying for it to go away. Oh, God, stop this, change that. We're praying for our will to be done. Folks, your will is not going to be done. Your desires aren't going to be done. God said for us to pray in his name. It's praying in the personality of. The name of is the word of. If you're able in understanding the word of God, we pray his words. Oh God, I'm praying to love my enemy. That's Jesus. That's confessing the name of Jesus. You know, I know that my wife was sent to me for me and my salvation. Y'all know that? You know, I know that my children were sent to me and my salvation. You know, I didn't have to ask for them? Already there. Do you know that I don't have to? God has already put in my life everybody I need to produce me and my salvation. They're already there. I didn't even have to ask for them. They just dropped in. Hello, y'all with me? Are you still there? Everybody, folks, listen, everything, you do not have to go out and pray for God to conjure up something. The thing has already been done. God has done all he'll ever do. On the seventh day, it said, he rested. He's finished. Jesus said when he went to the cross, it is over. The battle has been won. We're victorious. It's done. Now, everything in your life today is to assist you and for your salvation. My wife, my children, my priest, all of these people are put into my life for me to experience, to understand how to love. You know, love is a sacrifice. Did y'all hear Brian talk about a sacrificial love? Give you the definition of what love is, an agape love, willing to suffer without a desire to retaliate. Y'all hear that? Do you know that's what our whole church is based on? For 2,000 years, folks, you know, I was in a church in Central America, in Belize, and over the altar it had, in Latin, redemptive suffering. Y'all ever hear that word, redemptive suffering? Do y'all ever wonder what it means? It means that Jesus Christ has paid a price for my redemption. The price has been paid, and for me to get in on it, I'm going to suffer. What causes me to suffer? Loving your enemy. Loving your wife. Bible says the man's enemy are those members of your household. You don't have to go looking for this thing. It's already there. And we're all trying to get, listen to how we'll pray. God, I ain't putting up with them no more. Now you change him or I'm going to divorce him. Y'all listening to this? And I tell you what, when you divorce him, you know what you got to do? you're going to get something worse than he is that you're going to have to live with. I mean, if you can't learn it with him, you think you're going to live it with somebody else, I got bad news for you. It won't work. Stop praying for the things around you to change and pray that you can accept them the way they are. It'll heal your heart. I no longer pray for my family to change. I pray, oh God, change me. Oh God, in this house of conflict, let me carry peace. Oh God, where there's distress, let me bring relief. Oh God, where there's hate, let me bring love. You understand? That's in our homes and it's in our local parishes. Folks, it's right here. I've got people upset at me right here. You know, they've already told me they're upset at me. Well, I don't believe that. I don't care. Amen. I can't make nobody believe nothing. You don't have to tell me you don't believe it. That's okay with me. I just know that in my heart I got peace. I just know it. And I know that it's come from me learning how to pray. Now, according to the documents of Vatican Council II, and according to this right here, the words, there's only three ways that I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to pray that God's will be done, and I'm to intercede for authority. People are in authority. People like, I'm to intercede for my wife. Now, folks, I intercede for her. People that have in a position of authority, I intercede for them. I intercede for priests and nuns and bishops. I intercede for them. I intercede for my president. I intercede for the leaders of this world. I intercede for them. Now, the way I intercede, because I really don't fully understand what they need or how God can touch them, I pray in tongues. My intercession is in the Spirit. It's not in my understanding. Now, that's what I wanted to get to today. But I wanted to show you and help you. Folks, you can eliminate a lot of time if you'll begin just to pray that God's will be done. I surrender my life to you, Lord, and I want your will to be done here in me, on this earth, in me, in this earthen clay, in me, God, as it's done in heaven. I want to love here on this earth, God, as you love in heaven. I want to serve here on this earth, God, as you've served and the way you're serving in heaven. Oh, God, let me experience your life here today as it is being lived in heaven now. You understand that? God's will be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. It's not something that's going to be done. It is something that's being done. And what God wants us to do is to get in on it. It's being done. The will of God is being done. That's the reason I'm not against anything. Folks, I'm not against anything. I'm not out trying to change anything but me. I have no axe to grind with anybody. I love everybody. And if I ever get good enough at what I'm doing, I can promise you that I'll wind up somehow like that. I don't know exactly how it'll be, but it'll be something. Amen. And I believe that's where our church is heading. I do. You start preaching the message Jesus preached and said, the world will hate you. Hello? Can you imagine the Roman Catholics of this country loving their enemy? How about this? How about just this little ditty? When they rob your property, don't ask for it back. What would that do to our judicial system? Now y'all know why they killed him. The high priest, Caiaphas, said, if we don't kill this man, our whole nation will die. Y'all understand now? Are you beginning to get a picture? Okay. So now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to run over to Acts, the 19th chapter, and I'm going to read to you. Now, as we read this, I hope you can accept it the way I like to present it. As we read the scriptures, we must take the approach of what we're reading is written to whom? Y'all excited about it, aren't you? Well, it sounds like it. When we read the Scripture, we must take the approach that what we're reading, must be my teeth. It's written to whom?
You.
All right. I did this one day in a parish for a week, and the priest was sitting over here on the side, and my plane was grounded. I couldn't take off, and I went to Mass the next morning on Sunday morning, and he stood up in the pulpit, and he did this. As we begin our reading of Scripture, we must take the approach that what we're reading is written to whom? And nobody said a word. So he said it again. And he said it again. And finally one little old lady said, me. He said, well, thank God. We've got somebody here this morning that's going to listen to what we read. I like to fell out of my seat. I didn't have the guts to holler me. Now I'm reading from the 19th chapter, the first verse, and it said, while David Stewart was in Tallahassee, John Schweitzer made his way overland as far as Ephesus, where he found, Pensacola there, where he found a number of disciples. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you were believers? Now, I got to thinking about that. Why in the world would Paul ask these people, had they received the Holy Spirit? Obviously, they were believers. And I got to thinking about it. How do we know today that people are believers? Well, I would imagine if he knew back then like we know today, he probably walked up on a parish council meeting. And they were in there fighting and fussing. And he said, did y'all receive the Holy Ghost since you were believers? Or he could have come up on a bingo game. Or he could have rode up into the parking lot and seen bumper stickers all over the jackasses in the parking lot said, we've decided to follow Jesus. You understand? Isn't that the way we do? So he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you were believers? And now listen to what they said. They said, no, we've never been told that there's such a thing as the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have that problem, do we? Every Sunday we say, we believe in... we believe in the Holy... the Lord... We know that there's a Holy Spirit. But sometimes when you talk to people, you'd never believe it. I mean, the way they talk or the way they act or their spiritual understanding, you know it's not the Spirit that Jesus left. I mean, it's kind of like some crazy stuff. Now listen to this. No, we were never told that there's such a thing as the Holy Spirit. Then how were you baptized? He said, it was John's baptism, they replied. Remember, John's baptism was a baptism of water. John's baptism, said Paul, was a baptism of repentance. But he insisted that the people should believe in the one that would come after him. In other words, Jesus. Then they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus became real and alive in them. The baptism of the Spirit is revelation. It's experiential. It's knowing. It's understanding. It's even exciting. It's thrilling. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And it says, and the moment Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came down on them. Folks, do we believe that the Holy Ghost is God?
Yes.
Do we believe that the Holy Ghost is Jesus? Well, it says here he came down. Where did he come from? Heaven. Folks, no different than today. We call on him. He comes down today. Don't look for him to come some other time.
He can only come today.
Today's the only day we got. Have you noticed how the magisterium of our church has reduced our holy days of obligation? How many we got left?
I think we only got one.
How many we got, Father?
I want to
make a statement here, and don't get upset at me. Every day is a holy day. Folks, there's no such there. Every day is the day that the Lord has made, and today is the only day we have. Today is a holy day. We're committed to do the work of God today. Amen. We're obligated. It's our obligation to live out our baptism and our confirmation, to live out the Spirit of the living God living in us. And when do we do it?
Now.
All right. All right, let's see what happened. He laid hands on them, and they began to speak with tongues and to prophesy. My. Now I'm going to turn over to Corinthians. Fourteenth chapter, the first verse. You must want love more than anything else. What kind of love are we talking about?
Agape.
Say it again.
Agape.
Give me a definition of agape.
Agape.
The willingness to suffer without a desire to retaliate. Say it with me. A willingness to suffer without a desire to retaliate. That is agape love. That's the sign of the cross. That is the crucifixion. That's denying yourself. That's picking up your cross. You must desire that more than anything else. That's what we desire. That's the thing that moves us. That's the thing that inspires us. That's where we have to go first. Amen.
Amen.
But it says still hope for spiritual gifts. We still got some other things coming. But love is our key. Amen. Especially prophecy. Now, if y'all will pay real close attention here, you're going to learn what a prophet is. Because it tells us. We are to desire and seek after love first. Now, once we experience love, that's what we've been teaching you all week. Love your enemy, do good to those that hate you, bless. Once you've experienced that, we are then to desire other spiritual gifts. Especially prophecy. Anybody, let's all say anybody, with the gift of tongues talks to God. Now, folks, I want to tell all of you something. If any of you have a need or desire for understanding and wisdom, you need to know and experience tongues. Anybody with the gift of tongues talks to God, not to other people, because nobody understands him when he talks in the Spirit about mysterious things. You know that God is not a mystery to us? You know who the mystery is? It's me. God's revealed himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His words have been given to us over the past 2,000 years. He's no longer a mystery. I'm the mystery, and I need to be able to talk to God so that He can reveal to me the mysteries of my life, that He can reveal to me the mysteries in my heart and in my mind, the things that trouble me and bother me, the things that I want to know and the things that I don't know and the things that I'm confused about, all these things that I need to know. Amen.
Amen.
I need to pray in tongues, don't I? Now it says the one that prophesies, the man who prophesies does talk to other people. Listen to what a prophet does. To their encouragement. Have y'all been encouraged this week? Have you been told you're unique, one of a kind, original, glorious masterpieces, sons and daughters of the Most High?
Yes.
That God's forgiven you, redeemed you, justified you, reconciled you to the Father through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
That's encouragement.
Yes.
That's encouragement, folks. That's what a prophet does. A prophet isn't a fortune teller. He's one that encourages the body. Listen to this. It says that he improves the body.